have lost or what we have to complain about than what we have to be thankful for. And I tell you, when you have an attitude of gratitude, it really does change your perspective on things. Amen. So we have a lot to be thankful for. With that, let's take our Bibles and go to the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we'll start reading in verse 10 down through 14. John chapter 15, starting in verse 10. Give you a moment to find it there. I ask everybody, I talked to Sister Joanne for a minute before service, and she's getting ready to go to Washington this Saturday, right, Sister, to go and be with her daughter for 2 or 3 months. And so please do keep her in prayer. Her daughter especially is going to be having hip surgery. And so I'll ask the church if you'll remember her daughter in prayer, and then also Miss Joanne as she travels and is there to care for her. And so I think it's good that she wants to do that, to be there for her daughter. So just do remember them in prayer. We sure will miss her, and hopefully we'll get to see her again real soon as she comes back to us there. So just keep her in prayer. I'm sure she'll appreciate those prayers. Amen, for her daughter and for the travels that are there. John chapter 15, starting in verse 10, the Bible says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." You know, this isn't the message, but let me share this with you, church, because I cannot help but read this scripture. One of the best evidences of being a Christian is obeying the commandments of God. People tell me all the time, "Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, I love God," and I hope you do, by the way. But your life really paints a picture of whether you do or not. Now, I didn't paint that picture. You do in your relationship with the Lord. And I believe that Jesus is saying, you know what, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You keep He says that even more. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is the commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So another emphasis on commandments is to love one another. But notice verse 13. This is really our text. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Verse 14, he emphasizes what I was just saying a moment ago. "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." But let me read verse 13 again. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this morning. Thank you again for the hour of Sunday school. Thank you for the songs that's been sung. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the special that's been given. Lord, a reminder of how you've truly blessed us. And Lord, we ask you now for the next few moments, if you'd help us to focus on, Lord, remembering things that we should remember. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, let us walk out of here with a fresh perspective on how truly blessed we are. Lord, I pray for that one who's never been saved. Lord, I pray that you convict them of their need for salvation. I pray that today would be their day of salvation. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." I want to say that we here at Florence Baptist Church are here to remember the sacrifices that were paid on our behalf. In particular, today, first of all, for our fallen soldiers and even those that never came home, we want to take time to do that, and we're going to speak more about that in just a moment. But there's some things that in preparation this week and reading this week and studying this week, one of the things that I am a little troubled by, church, you know, things that trouble you ought to motivate you to do things. Amen. For example, if you come to a place where you're dissatisfied with something in your life, in fact, oftentimes you'll find a person who has changed their life, let's say, to be more health conscious in their life. That often came from a place of physical illness, where they came to a place where it became dangerous and they became dissatisfied with their life. They said, "I'm going to do something about this." Amen. Maybe in your life, spiritually speaking, you hit rock bottom and you say, "This is not a place I want to go." And boy, the Lord really almost, or not the Lord, my life was almost taken away, and the Lord's given me another opportunity to do something about it, and I'm going to change some things in my life. I'm going to give my heart to Christ, things like that. But oftentimes that comes from a place of dissatisfaction. You'll start to see a turn in people's lives. And one of the things that sort of brought me into the service today is the dissatisfaction, or maybe lack of gratitude is a better way to phrase it, from what I'm seeing in our country concerning Memorial Day weekend. One of the things that I read was our Vice President Kamala Harris stating for everyone to have a great long weekend in reference to it's just another holiday, it's just another time to have an extra day off of work. And friends, when I read that, that bothered me a little bit. You say, well, what she said doesn't sound that bad, but what bothers me, church, is what she didn't say. Sometimes it's not what you did, what you said, but what you didn't say. Amen. We're not going to gather in the house of God and not mention our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then it's become all about me, or it's become all about you. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what our purpose is here. We're to worship Him. We're to give you a message about Him. And quite frankly, I would rather desire for you to leave here knowing the name of Jesus. And I could care less whether you know my name or not, because my name is not the name that you shall bow to and confess your sins to. Amen. So oftentimes, church, and I'm deeply motivated in emphasizing a message by the lack of a message that we've seen to somebody who is in a high position of leadership in our country. And I'm just here to tell you, church, it's more than just a long weekend. Now, the facts are it is a long weekend. But the fact of the matter is, the reason why it has become a long weekend is because of the sacrifices that was paid by some of our fallen soldiers, men and women who gave their lives and laid their life on the line so that we can be here today and worship Christ as we see fit and have church. The fact that you have a long weekend, as was said, and that you can gather with family. And by the way, I'm not against having a barbecue on Memorial Day. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm not against gathering together with your loved ones and spending some time together. I am against gathering together and not remembering why we gather. Amen. For example, another example that would be on Thanksgiving. I believe you ought to have a nice dinner. I'm for it. Hey, listen, I might even show up at your place and participate with you. But I do have a problem with gathering together and not being thankful for what the Lord's blessed you with. Amen. So if we're going to gather with our friends and family, you know what you ought to do is you ought to take some time aside first and say, you know what? Let's read some history on why we do what we do. Let's take some time to remember those who never came home, for those who laid their lives on the line and paid the ultimate sacrifice so we could have the freedom that we do today, church. Amen. See, the problem is when we start to forget those things, it takes us in a different direction. Another thing that I read that bothered me was that there was a group of people that were trying to sign a petition to do away with the idea of Memorial Day. Because it's imperialism and it emphasizes something that doesn't stand with my... you know what I want to say to those folks? If you don't like living in the United States of America, then there's plenty of other places in the world that you can go. Amen? And I'm not trying to be mean and ugly today. And yes, my heritage is Hispanic, but I want you to know I'm a red-blooded American today. I'm proud of our country. I'm proud of our flag. I'm proud of the sacrifices that were paid on our behalf so that I can have the freedom and liberty that we enjoy today. Why would you want to push for a petition to get rid of something that has been celebrated? Really, you can trace it back. There's been different forms of it. I believe it. At one time it was called Declaration or Decoration Day, and it's had different forms of it. But really, it goes back to the 1800s of remembering our fallen soldiers. Amen? Why would we want to take away something because you don't like the idea of our military and what they do? Hey, can I remind them, if our men and women didn't do what they do, they couldn't have their right to complain about the nonsense that they complain about. How about that? Amen. Now, they wouldn't like that very much, would they? Kind of like the idea of defunding the police department. What kind of madness are we dealing with today? Oh, take away all guns. Oh, but yet the first thing that you want to do when somebody breaks in your house is you want to call a police officer and you praying that he has a gun. He gets there with a gun to protect the ones that are breaking in your house, right? Come on now. That's just not even any common sense. Amen. Now, I know today's not about supporting our police officers, but I do support our police officers and what they do. Amen. But we have forgotten, church. And it's a dangerous place in our spirit and our temperament and our attitude when we start to forget why we do what we do. Now, let me just say this. Now, don't let this disturb you from anything else, but I'm just making a point. We can even get that way with church. We can start to develop a routine with churches. And don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. It's not by accident if we come in here and we start to change our order of service on things sometimes. You know why? Now, I'm for, the Bible says, to do all things decently and in order. And I believe if we're going to have ministry and if we're going to have church, it ought to be done decently and it ought to be done in order. And especially constituting the house of God. But what I am afraid of is that we get used to a routine sometimes. We've been doing it this way for so long, oh boy, we can't change it, right? I appreciate Brother Kevin, you know, I didn't do it intentionally, but sometimes I put things in there I didn't even mean to put them in there. It's not because I'm like, yeah, I'm going to twist this thing up on him. No. But hey, I appreciate a spirit to say, hey, we're going to go with that. That's all right. Amen. My goodness, it's not going to crack the walls because we change the order of service every now and then. And I think probably it's good. Hey, don't be surprised if we come in here one day and say, hey, let's start off on the altar, the whole church. Let's get down on the altar and have church. D.L. Moody said often he would do that in his services because he said, now that we've gotten some things out of the way, now that we've fixed some things in our relationship with God, now we can have church. Just don't be surprised, church. Amen? What I'm saying is that we forgot. Sometimes we forget why we have what we have. Sometimes we forget the joy and the privilege to have a copy of the Word of God when there's people that were quite literally killed through history trying to even just obtain a copy of the Bible. Or had a copy of the Bible. Now, they've tried to destroy the Word of God. You can't. The Bible teaches us that forever thy Word is settled in heaven. You cannot destroy the Word of God. The Word of God has been challenged from the beginning of days. Satan himself said, yea, hath God said. The Word of God has been challenged from the beginning. But what we're trying to focus on today is there's some things, church, that we ought to remember the sacrifices that were paid on our behalf, starting with our soldiers. Let me say something else about the idea of a memorial. You know, on my phone, I have a copy of an 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Now, I like old things, amen? All right? I like old things. I like to read about old things. I like old people, glory to God, amen? Listen, I love all of you, amen? Miss Sarah, what are you doing back here? I took my family yesterday to Tombstone, Arizona. You know that it's a historic town. There's a lot of rich history there. I think it's great to go back and remember things of the past. Amen? But the idea of a memorial in that old Webster's Dictionary is that I think sometimes you got to get back to ground level. What does a memorial actually mean? Well, the idea of a memorial, according to the 1828 Webster Dictionary, is it's a preservation of a memory. A memorial is also that which preserves the memory of something, anything that keeps it in memory. A monument is a memorial, for example, of a deceased person or an event. The Lord's Supper is a memorial of the death and sufferings of Christ. Now, this is in a dictionary. And even it makes reference to the Lord's Supper as a memorial of the sufferings of Christ. It also is a written representation of facts made to legislate or other body to grant a petition, representation of facts accompanied with a petition. In other words, this is why we do, oftentimes you'll see a law written based on something that's happened. It's sort of a memorial to that. So that's what a memorial is. It's essentially a preservation of a memory. If you were to go down to Washington, D.C., and I'm not even sure, you know, you hear different things, and you were to try to see the Declaration of Independence, I guarantee you, you can't just get up there and touch it. They're not going to let you, okay? Do you know why? Because they're trying to preserve that important document in our country's history. It's a sacred document in our country's history. And they're not going to just go and just let you touch it. It's behind glass, it's protected, it's guarded, because they are preserving it. You know what we ought to do about Memorial Day? We ought to preserve it. It ought to be something that we protect, emotionally and spiritually, and even physically speaking, by remembering why we have that day. Throughout the Word of God, and we're going to see more in just a moment, that there was memorials all through the Bible. having memorials and remembering things and remembering sacrifices and remembering what God did is one of the most basic Christian duties that you can do. In fact, God encourages us to do it. So as we get into this, as we study further, we've mentioned some things that we have forgotten by evidence of lack of things that were said and the attack on something that we celebrate as being sacred, the idea that it's a preservation of a memory. But then as we move along, number one this morning, church, the importance of remembering. The importance of remembering. I read this statement this morning, and I want to share it with you. It says, I will contend that failure to remember and honor the sacrifices by those who have gone before us of us will of necessity lead to a failure to preserve the very things for which they died. Freedom is not free, and those who recognize its cost will continue to pay its price so that it is preserved, while those who do not will not and will lose its purpose. Essentially what that's saying is that if we start to get to the place where we forget to remember the sacrifice that were paid, you won't preserve the freedom, which was the whole intent on why the sacrifice was paid. So there is an importance of remembering. How many times do we see throughout the Word of God, and we'll mention more of that in just a moment, but how many times do we see remember, 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 or the idea of remembering, or the idea of a memorial? So the first thing that we need to remember today is that there is an importance of remembering the sacrifices that were paid. You know what I want to encourage you, and you know what's bothering me a little bit? History is also becoming a lost art today, friend. You know, these we see, you know, statues of our first presidents, Abraham Lincoln and even George Washington and good men and women, they're being destroyed and taken down because it offends somebody. Well, there's a story behind that, and I believe if you went back and started to study some of the history behind those things, you would have a different attitude about it. But history is not being emphasized and taught as it should, or if it is, it's a whole different perversion of the history of what's actually happened and transpired in our country's history. I think that we forget that one of the foundational truths on why our country was founded so that we could worship God as we see fit. Amen? The freedom to, the right to bear arms, the freedom of speech. So we're talking about religious freedoms. We're talking about personal protection freedoms. We're talking about personal freedoms. All of those things are being attacked today. Those are some of the reasons and some of the essentials on why our country was founded. So there's an importance of remembering. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to teach those things to our children. In fact, over in the book of Deuteronomy, you'll see that they rose up a generation which knew not God. Do you know why that generation didn't know God? It's basically because the parents failed to teach the history of Israel to their children. And what we're seeing sadly happen today in America is there's raising up a generation which does not remember the sacrifice that was paid on their behalf. And do you know why they're not remembering that sacrifice? Because we have failed to teach it to the next generation. And we have a duty and a responsibility as moms and dads, as grandmas and grandpas, or even if you're not a grandma or grandpa, you have a duty to, as an American citizen, to help to teach those things to the next generation. You know one of the reasons why I respect the flag and I respect why we celebrate, or not really celebrate, but recognize Memorial Day? You know why? Because those are things that were taught to me from my father. My father served in the military for 18 years. Now, today's not Veterans Day. We're not celebrating our veterans today. But my point is him as a veteran taught me to emphasize Memorial Day, to remember Memorial Days. And even he, this morning, I could take you to my phone and said, hey, son, thank you for helping remember our fallen soldiers and those who never came home. It wasn't just those who died, but also those who never came home, which essentially we can probably count as being fallen soldiers because we never seen them again. But those are the things, church, when we fail to teach to the next generation, we have a duty and responsibility of helping them to remember. So first of all, there is the importance of remembering. Second of all, I want to emphasize the remembering in Scripture. We study the Bible and you'll see certain things that God always wanted us to remember. I'm just giving you examples. This is not an exhaustive list. I can't even say that these are necessarily the most important ones. I'm literally giving you some examples. For example, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath. What else does it say about it? To keep it holy, right? Now, we don't worship anymore on the Sabbath, which was Saturday, but this is our holy Sabbath on a Sunday upon the first day of the week where Paul emphasized, which is Sunday, amen, the day that also Christ arose. So in celebration of that, this is our Sabbath. And you know what's happened? We're not keeping it holy as we used to. Now, that's not the message of today, but hey, I'm just saying. It used to be a day where you couldn't hardly go anywhere to the store on a Sunday. Everything was closed. I remember that. I mean, if you had to do business, you didn't do it on Sunday. You couldn't hardly find a restaurant that was open. So you were blessed if you found a gas station that was open to get some fuel if you needed. Why? Because people closed things down on Sundays. Even people who weren't Christians used to close things down on Sundays. Who remembers those days? They closed things down. Why? Because it was about remembering the holy day. So that's just one example. One thing that God said to remember, he mentioned remember the Sabbath and the scriptures. He also mentioned remembering Egypt. How many occasions do you see where, again, the people of Israel forgot to teach their children, this is what God delivered us from? God brought us out of this. This is what happened in our history. This is what God, the miracles that God performed for us. Remembering what He did in bringing you out of slavery and out of bondage and through the wilderness and into the promised land. We see certain places throughout the scripture where that's emphasized a lot. I want to mention in Revelation 2:5, it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. And repent and do the first works. It's Revelation 2:5. If you'd like to see it. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. You know what that's a good reminder of, church? Remember where God brought you from concerning your lost condition. Amen. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you can go back and think about a time where you were lost and without Christ. Jesus, remember from what, you know, today we're remembering primarily our fallen soldiers, first and foremost. But the Bible says, remember from when you've fallen, spiritually speaking. Amen? You were dead without Christ. And that's something else that's important for us to remember. So as we go along here, there's the importance of remembering. Second of all, there's the importance of remembering things in Scripture. And thirdly, I want to mention some memorials in Scripture. Tomorrow we recognize Memorial Day. There's some memorial. Now, I don't have time to get into them all, but again, I'm just going to give you one or two examples. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse 20, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their stones in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over into Jordan on dry land. So these stones that were literally brought were to be a memorial and a reminder of the miracle that God did on the Red Sea, and that He opened up the sea, and they were able to walk on dry land. You know, we often think, well, what a great miracle it was that God parted the Red Sea, and that's good. But not just that, He made it dry. Can you imagine how difficult it would have been for the hundreds of thousands of Israelites to go across muddy waters? They would have got literally stuck in the mud. Amen. They would have literally struggled. Their horses or whatever they had, or if they were pulling carts or whatever, would have probably been broken and struggling to get across. I think it's a great reminder that when God opens the door, His intention is for you never to get stuck in the mud, spiritually speaking. I mean, when God opens the door, He always makes a way. But these stones were literally to be a memorial of the miracle that God performed. And not to mention another example where God said, hey, when your children ask what these stones are for, you tell them what I did. We see in our nation's capital, headstones and even the crosses and the tomb of unknown soldiers and many other things that were intended to be a memorial. And one day I decided to take my children that way. And as many children before, they say, "Daddy, what does this mean?" And I want to be able to explain to my children, that's what this is for. It's a reminder of the sacrifices that were paid for me and you. Hey, listen, freedom is not truly free. Someone always had to pay the sacrifice. The text that we started off when Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." I believe those that were fallen and gave their lives to preserve, hey, they loved America. Hey, you know what you do? You die for things that you love, don't you? Hey, if it comes down to it, if you come into my house or you attack my family, you're not going to get them without getting me. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen because I'm willing to die for those that I love. Amen. I literally will protect them until I have no breath in me. Amen. You're not getting to them. It's just not going to happen because I'm willing to die for something that I love. When we remember our fallen men and women, they literally died for something that they loved. It was our country. It was our freedom. It was their families and the future generations to come to preserve our legacy as a country. They died for something that they loved. Jesus said there's no greater love. To die for something that you love, there's no greater example of love. So, we've talked about this morning the importance of remembering. We've talked about remembering things in the Scripture. We've talked about memorials in the Scripture. There's several more we could have addressed. But then lastly, and I want to emphasize those things that we should remember. And of course, number one today is our fallen soldiers. Former Senator Fred Thompson said, "No home of the free without it being the home of the brave." First of all, we're here to remember our fallen soldiers, and that's why everything else that we've said, we've emphasized. What we've talked about is really led up to that, and what a great picture here that Christ is talking about. Now, this picture, I believe the bigger picture is of Christ, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But it's also for those, as he emphasized, "No greater love hath no man than this, the man lay down his life for his friends." So we hear, we remember the men and women who gave their lives. The second thing I want to mention today, and this is just something I hope will be encouraged, fallen saints of the cross. Now, this isn't our main thing. By the way, if you didn't know, there's a memorial that we have on the very front row today. It's a special memorial to any Christian, but a special memorial to those here at Florence Baptist Church. It's a headstone for Pastor Storm. And after the service, not right now, but maybe after the service, we set it out on purpose so that you can go by and take a look at it. And we're going to have a special service dedicated to that. But I can't help but mention him today. Amen. He was a soldier of the cross. Amen. He died preaching the gospel. Amen. He died doing what God had called him to do. And friend, you know what the Bible tells us? That we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, there were great examples before us. They left a legacy before us. In Hebrews chapter 12, you can find that. And I think it's important. First and foremost, we're going to remember our fallen soldiers that we've been talking about most of the service. But then also, let's take just a second to remember our fallen soldiers of the cross. Pastor Storm is one example of many. I'm confident that you know other men and women who died serving the Lord, died living, doing the calling, answering the will of God in their life. I'm sure that you've seen it. And what a better example, or I can't think of a better example for our church than remembering Pastor Storm. And then thirdly, as far as remembering those, or those that we should remember, it's our fallen soldiers, our fallen saints, but then also our Savior. There's the soldiers, the saints, but how about our Savior? When Jesus made that statement, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends," you know what I've come to find out? A lot of times people say things, but they're not even willing to do what they say. You know, it's better to live your life with your feet than your words. Do you understand what I mean by that? By what you do. By what you do. You show more by what you do than what you say. I personally believe as a Christian, what you do puts more emphasis on what you say. What good would it do me to get up here and preach the Word of God if I didn't live how I should? Now, with that being said, it doesn't mean that I'm perfect. It doesn't mean that I haven't fallen into sin, because I have. Things that I'm ashamed of. But what I'm trying to say is that we ought to live in such a manner that it puts more emphasis on what we say out of the Word of God. Friends, you want to be a good influence on your co-workers and those that you're trying to help and those that you're trying to be a witness to, then live right before them. Act right before them. And oftentimes we think, well, oh, preacher, I haven't robbed no banks, or, you know, I haven't done the bad things. Well, what's your attitude towards your boss at work? You realize the things that you say corrupt? Amen? Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. I believe that's in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communications corrupt good. So when you have that kind of evil speaking and evil communication, you have essentially corrupted your testimony. Or at least you put some dirt on it. So our attitude, even before our neighbors and our family. You know, so I get it. Sometimes family is the hardest ones to witness to. I understand that. I get it. But you know what? We ought to live. You know, sometimes we get, well, you know, I don't like what they do and I don't like how they act, so I'm just not going to see them. Now, I get you don't want to get involved in maybe in some of the things that they do. You shouldn't. As a Christian, you shouldn't. But they're still your family. You still ought to show them the grace of God. You still ought to show them the love of Christ. How many times did Christ sit down in fellowship with sinners? A lot more than when we see him sitting down with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In fact, I can't think of very many occasions where he did that. But I can't think of any occasion where he sat down with sinners and dwelt among them. Amen? The Word became flesh in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible teaches that the Word became flesh and dwelt among them. Amen? That's who Jesus was. That's who Jesus, what Jesus did. So when Christ said, greater love hath no man than this, the man lay down his life for his soul, he wasn't just talking the talk. He was also walking the walk. And that's exactly what he did for you and I. Let me share this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25 of chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. After this, the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The two ordinance, scriptural ordinances of the church is baptism and the Lord's Supper. Okay? Now, baptism comes after salvation. Let me go ahead and add, just to make sure there's no confusion, baptism does not save you, friend. Amen? Baptism is a picture, an identification with Christ. It is a step of obedience as a child of God. The Lord's Supper, which there's no, sometimes they think, well, we got to do it every week or every fifth Sunday and all that. There's nowhere in the Scripture says this is how off. It says how off you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. As a memorial of me. Of the sacrifice that I paid on the cross for you. The blood that was shed for you. The body that was broken for you. It's a remembrance and it's a memorial to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Same as when we have Memorial Day. It's a memorial and it's a remembrance for those who have fallen, who gave their lives and paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. I want to ask my wife if she'll go ahead and come, but while she's doing that, I want to say, church, listen, I believe personally for the preservation of our future that it is critical and important to remember and to recognize and take time and to teach why we have Memorial Day. And I hope that you have a wonderful day. I hope that you get to spend time with family. But I beg you, church, don't do it without remembering why we do it. Don't do it without taking time to teach. That's our duty and it's our responsibility, because God has blessed us with that privilege. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. We got a special that's going to be sung. The altar's open. If God's speaking to your heart, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come?
My heart can be so troubled, trembling with fear, eyes closed tight, expecting to overflow with tears. If I could manage to whisper the name above all names, suddenly I am at peace and things are quite the same. It happens every time I speak His name. My spirit calms within me, I feel Him ease the pain. It's a mystery, I agree, I never could explain. But it happens every time I speak His name. Why do we seek comfort from everyone but Him? When hurts and failures leave us lonely and condemned, oh, for the sound of Jesus' name to soothe and gently mend. Let the broken hear the name that makes things new again. It happens every time I speak His name. My spirit calms within me, I feel Him ease the pain. It's a mystery, I agree, I never could explain. But it happens every time I speak His name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. It happens every time I speak the name of Jesus. My spirit calms within me, I feel Him ease the pain. It's a mystery, I agree, I never could explain. But it happens every time I speak His name. And it happens every time I speak His name.
Go ahead and be seated, church. The Bible says, wherefore God hath also exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I just wanted to share that. That scripture goes along with that thought. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask my wife if she'll take this list. And let me just say, and as they, you got it, okay. Let me just say that as we